You're listening to Three Kitchens Podcast, hosted by your favorite home cooks, Aaron Walker and Heather Dyer. Join us for inspiration and a new recipe every Tuesday.
New year, new fun, exciting stuff.
New recipes.
Same old us.
Well, some things have to stay the same.
We're growing and learning and changing, and
I'm sure I've grown over the holidays eating all kinds of
possibly junk. Not in the right direction.
Cookies.
Growing in pant size.
It's just a number. Just like age.
Right?
Well, welcome to Three Kitchens Podcast. We're back. I am Heather. I'm here with Aaron.
And we're just, you know, same old silliness.
Well, you got to have some fun with it, right? That's what we're here for.
Exactly.
And since you have no idea what I'm going to be making, let me take you on just a quick little detour first.
Ooh, should I close my eyes?
You can if you want. There's nothing to look at over here.
Close your eyes and imagine.
Close your eyes and imagine, picture Mesoamerica.
Ooh, okay.
It is an historical region and cultural area between North America and South America. What we would probably now call Central.
I think so.
All right. So are you familiar with tamales?
Ooh, I am familiar with tamales.
You are. And that is apparently a Mesoamerican dish. Have you eaten tamales?
I have. My husband's father used to live very close to the American-Mexican border. And there was like a local person that would make tamales that they would order.
Oh, yeah.
And I've had them once. And it was like 15 years ago.
Wow. I've never actually eaten tamales. We're looking at other stuff, and what pops up, I don't know why, the algorithm on Pinterest feeds me tamales today. And so I'm like, oh, what
tell me about like? Tamales.
So basically, you have a masa dough, like a dough made from corn. You put that onto a corn husk or banana leaf.
Okay.
Then you put on top of the dough, it could be anything, meats, cheese, vegetables, herbs, chilies.
Mm-hmm.
Depends a lot on region and taste and
whatever you've got available.
Yeah, it's kind of like the dough is sort of wrapped around it. It's all wrapped in the leaf, and I think it's baked, but shitballs. I'm not making tamales. This is why I'm not that prepared with the tamales. But
well, now I'm really confused as to where this ship is sailing.
You fold it all together. Oh, you steam it. You're right. Steam
Aha.
it. And then you can either just discard the husk that it was wrapped in, and you can carry it essentially like a handheld food, or you can use the husk as a plate.
Ah, right, right.
Yeah.
It's almost like another version of a food wrapped in a dough, like exactly. an empanada or a dumpling or
a hand pie or a sausage yeah. roll or a samosa.
All these things where we love to just wrap food in dough and then
carry
munch
it with
away.
Us. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's like everywhere you go has something like this, right? And it goes back. I think I read that archaeologists think that tamales may date from like a 100 AD. So for a very long time, peoples have been making tamales.
And I mean, can we not go back and say corn husks? Corn.
Mm-hmm.
Super cool corn things. Okay, sorry.
Super
if you
cool
want to hear
things.
Me nerd out about corn, go and check out. We got polenta and mochi cake that I made with corn last year. And
so good.
Corn is just so freaking cool. Okay.
It is
continue.
Cool.
Glasses on.
Okay. Tamales, as with lots of Mexican food for sure, made their way to the United States, and we get an American version, which is not a tamale any longer. That's why I said I'm not making tamale. It is a tamale pie.
Oh.
Now, have you ever had a tamale pie?
Gosh, no.
leave it to the Americans to totally simplify and make this like it could be a weeknight meal.
Excellent.
Because now we're talking the fillings that you might put in a tamale with a cornbread topping.
Oh.
Baked. Kind of like, I've never eaten it, but it makes me think of like a shepherd's pie, but instead of a potato topping, yeah, you have cornbread on the top. This is the thing that I first came across. I'm like, what's a tamale pie? I've never heard of that. And then I started thinking about, well, what's a tamale and how does this relate to a tamale? Because I thought the tamale was wrapped in the husk. And so I'm like, well, where's that aspect of it? It doesn't have that aspect.
Okay.
It is a kind of, it's a meat pie with a cornbread topping.
Is there any sort of crust or is it just it's just the meat and ingredients with a topping?
Yes.
Okay.
As far as I can tell.
Gotcha.
And apparently the, you know, tamales, you can find variations on tamales even in the Caribbean. You can find them like all over the place. So I would think your filling, if this has been adapted and adopted in kitchens all over the place, you probably could vary your filling depending on your tastes. And
I feel like
profile.
I've recently stumbled across something that told me about tamales and how different they are in all the different places throughout Mexico and Central America. Mm-hmm. And like even kitchen to kitchen. I think it's that thing that like your grandma makes it this way. And that's what it is.
Yeah. And it seems quite common for a tamale pie to be a ground beef. Like that's what really makes me think it's like Tex-Mex, right?
Yeah.
Like think of a traditional Mexican taco and how it varies from a Tex-Mex ground beef taco, which is quite different from a traditional taco.
Right.
Like some of the recipes were basically just pork, like shredded pork that's been cooked all day and then shredded up and put in your tamale. But then the tamale pie often has vegetables. It would have like corn in there. It's almost like a chili.
Right.
Topping.
Cool.
So I want to look at, do some research into different tamale fillings.
Okay.
And see what looks interesting and put that into the American tamale pie form and put the cornbread on top and see what I can come up with. That's like,
this sounds all sorts of deliciously good stuff. And what a fun way to change up a weeknight meal.
Yeah, I think easy, right?
Yeah.
And you should be able to, I think you should be able to use leftover meat in here because it's cooked first.
Yes.
Anyways, because your cornbread doesn't take that long, right? So you want your filling to already be cooked.
Right.
Just like you would for a shepherd's pie. You cook your meat first.
You cook everything and then you layer it up and then.
Yeah. And then basically you're just warming everything together and baking that bread on top. So you could, if you had leftover brisket, barbecue, pulled pork.
Well, and this even takes whatever meat you make and puts it into two meals.
Yeah, make a little extra and make a tamale pie for the next day.
I like this. Stretching that food.
Yeah, stretch your budget. And if you're like me and you don't often plan ahead for your meals, this way you can. You can be like, okay, I did plan this thing. What could I do with the leftovers? Ooh, I'm going to make tamale pie.
Awesome.
So I hope it will be something that's kind of easy, quick, tasty. Yeah, that I'm picturing it. You know what I thought of when we were talking about shepherd's pie? Remember that shepherd's pie made with lamb?
Oh, that was Do I remember?
That was really good. I gotta make that one again. That's in our lamb episode from
September a few
year and a half ago. Lamb would be good in a tamale pie.
Lamb is good in everything, in my opinion, but
anything would be good in this, I think. So
yeah,
we'll see what I come up with.
Excellent. Ooh, yum. Hello, listeners and fellow foodie friends. Thanks so much for joining us back at Three Kitchens Podcast. Or if you're new here, welcome. If 2024 is your year to get in the kitchen and make better food, you've come to the right place. We have over 150 episodes and over 200 recipes on our website for you to explore. And while you're at it, come see us on Instagram. We love hearing what you're cooking in your kitchen. We've got lots of great recipes and interviews coming up for you in the new year, and we look forward to sharing them all with you. Now, back to today's episode.
All right, let's talk about how to make a tamale pie. This is something that is easy for like a weeknight, even like kind of last minute.
Yeah.
Because after kind of looking around at different recipes, I chose to follow a recipe that uses leftover meat. So this could be practically anything. If I used roast beef, you could use pork, you could use chicken, you could use like whatever you've got.
Pick your protein.
Yeah, or if you don't have leftovers and you're like, I want to make this, you could brown ground beef or
Right.
turkey. You could even stop at the deli counter and get one of those roast chickens.
Ooh,
You can grab one
yeah.
at Costco for $7 for the whole
Yep.
chicken and just clean it off. And then you use the bones and make broth.
Yep.
So you make the most of that chicken.
Maybe you've still got some turkey kicking around in your freezer that you were
Yep.
leave this for later.
Yes, exactly. So this is intended to be easy.
I
Easy
like
and
it.
quick. Okay. So you're going to make your filling. So obviously you're starting from cooked meat, right? Preheat your oven to 450 Fahrenheit, and in your larger like 12-inch cast iron skillet or some sort of oven safe pan like that, heat oil on the stovetop. You're going to put in there some onion, garlic, salt, soften that together. Then add your meat. You've got black beans, canned tomatoes, corn. You could probably improvise this if you want to add in bell pepper or something spicier.
Clean the fridge, right?
Exactly. Use what you've
Clean the
got.
fridge pie.
And if this is kind of a last minute thing where you're like, oh, I think I'll throw this together. Maybe you've got frozen, like I usually have like a bag of frozen carrots from the summer. I just chop them up and, pop them in the freezer. Or you've got corn, canned corn, like use what you've got. Make it easy for yourself. So you're basically just gonna cook that together until it's all heated through and then turn off the heat. And stir in some grated mozzarella and salt and pepper to taste. Be sure you're tasting it. You want to see if it's got the seasoning and the spice that you like. And that is as simple as the filling is. So yeah, it's very simple. And you could probably even, like, especially if you're doing like a ground meat, put in like salsa, maybe if you have a jar of
Ooh, that's a
salsa
great
or,
idea.
yeah, like make it kind of the flavor that you like it to be. I think this is intended to be a base recipe, and then you kind of make it your own. Now, to make it a tamale pie, you need the cornbread because remember, a tamale is a filling wrapped in like a corn flour dough. So I used this cornbread recipe. I will just mention it will be on the recipe in the website, but I'll mention that Erin, you also have a really great cornbread recipe, and I think that one is also on the
I
blog,
think so,
right?
yeah.
Yeah.
We've done the fire, the barbecue. I think we made it with ribs over the summer, possibly.
So it's so good. Okay, so there is all-purpose flour, yellow cornmeal, fresh corn, or in my case, canned, sugar, salt, baking powder, baking soda, milk, white vinegar, and that's just to kind of turn your milk to buttermilk.
Oh,
So
yeah.
if you have buttermilk, use that instead.
Okay.
An egg and some melted butter.
Okay, so question for you. Since you mentioned turning your milk to buttermilk,
Right.
how do you usually go about that?
Okay. So I don't have any like genius hack for this.
Okay.
I would say pour your milk into your cup, like your say it's a cup of milk. Well, in this case, it's 3/4 cup of milk.
Okay.
Add like a tablespoon of white vinegar, stir it, let it sit while you mix up the rest of your stuff.
Right.
Is that how you do it?
That's generally how I do it. I've heard that you're supposed to add your vinegar first and then fill it up to the mark. And I often use lemon juice instead of
You
vinegar,
can also do lemon juice, yeah.
which is my thing. Or so I was listening to a thing on the radio just the other day talking about best before dates on dairy products. Buttermilk is like sour milk. So if you've got milk that's like coming near the end of its shelf life, or
Yeah.
your milk is starting to go sour, that's what you can use too.
Oh, well, how do you know if it's gone too far or if it's the right? Because when you buy buttermilk, it doesn't smell like nasty old milk, does it? I don't think so.
I think it kind of is.
Oh.
It's like soured milk. So
You
I
know,
think
you're
if
talking
you've
to
got,
the dairy sensitive
I
person here.
know.
Why am I even talking about milk as though I know something about it? I don't.
Right. So I think you can use, like, if you've got milk that's kind of getting close to the end, instead of chucking it out and putting that down the drain, use it in baking. There's our take home message.
Yeah, like that's what you're doing by putting vinegar or lemon juice, like some kind of acid into the milk, is to turn it slightly sour. Yeah, I think there's a fine line there.
Possibly.
Anyway, there you go. So you're basically j you're going to yeah this and this recipe actually says to set it aside for 10 minutes, the vinegar plus the milk. So that's essentially what I do when I make it. And this is just making a basic dough. Like, there's nothing fancy about this. You're mixing it all together. You're dropping spoonfuls of batter on top of your filling that's in your skillet, and you kind of spread it a little bit to cover. Now, this recipe I found was not quite enough cornbread for my taste. So, on the blog, I'm gonna increase it by like 50%, I think, because we'll get into what we thought of this recipe, but I felt like it didn't quite have enough cornbread for me. And it didn't quite cover the
Oh,
entire
dang.
thing. So that was not the best. Okay. And then you're gonna bake it, but only until you just need to bake the cornbread because the filling is done. So this is super quick, like 15 minutes maybe. Check it with a little toothpick. Make sure your cornbread is, comes out clean-ish when you remove your toothpick. And that's it. And then when I first tasted it, I thought, what does this need? And then I remembered when you made polenta, corn polenta, and you made that nice red pepper like relish to go with it. And I was like, oh, it needs something like that. And I didn't have everything for that recipe, but I improvised a little bit with, I had a jar of sweet red pepper, and then I just added the
Was
vinegar
like
and
garlic, some
garlic
vinegar,
oil and vinegar. Yeah, it's
some
like
oil
a
and vinegar. It's pretty
basic.
basic. And I think if you have fresh parsley, that's the thing that you can add, but it can totally be made without.
That was the thing I didn't have. And I think you could also do a fresh, just like a fresh salsa, chop some tomato, onion, jalapeno, maybe smoke it if you got a smoker, as we discovered at Christmas time. Because I feel like it just needed that extra something.
It's a very savory, rich dish. So having something fresh to go with it, like even if you just made like a salad on the side, like you can just have a quick, like a cucumber and avocado or cucumber tomato or, like just something fresh chopped up on the side that's a little
Or
burst of
something pickled.
acid or a pickle. Something on the side for sure.
Or like a pickled, that pickled red onion that
Oh,
we make it all the time with everything.
the
Put that
staple.
in there. I think that just needed that bit of something fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this was I've been a little bit sick, and so this was like I tucked into this and it was so warm and comforting, and I really just liked that it was similar to a shepherd's pie, but with like a different reimagining of flavors. It made things just a little bit different and more interesting. I think this would be so good with a chicken too.
I agree. I feel like it depends a lot on the meat that you choose to put in there. Like this, in this case, I felt like using a leftover roast beef was a bit dry. It was not as like if you used a ground beef, say, that you just browned, mixed it all with everything, I feel like you'd get a bit more of the fat. And it would all kind of,
A bit of a creamier base.
it'd be a bit, yeah. I liked it. I thought it was great, and I thought it was super easy and quick. If you just need that thing that's like, oh crap, I didn't really plan, or I don't feel like eating these leftovers, just eat them as they are. What can I do with them?
You could make this in individual sizes and have it packable and ready to go. This is a nice meal. I like that it can be adapted in so many ways.
And the cornbread is just a little bit different from like a potato,
Oh,
like on a
exactly.
shepherd's pie. You could basically just do, if let's say you made chili, make a huge pot of chili, use the chili
I
and
always have leftover chili. Oh my
basically just,
gosh.
top your chili with cornbread and bake it in the oven for 15 minutes, and you've got a different meal. Maybe stir some cheese into it.
Yeah. Oh,
Yeah.
that's brilliant. Yeah. Love it.
I think it's a good one.
My kids love chili. I think you could make something really good the next day. That's
And
not the
whoever
same
makes a
thing.
small batch of chili,
Ain't nobody making small batches of chili.
ain't nobody. And then
Ain't
you eat it for so
nobody.
many days that you're like, oh, I'm so sick of it.
And I like an alternative to potatoes, having the cornmeal up on there and doing that. So was yours a thicker batter then that you could spoon? Because I know the cornmeal I make, the batter pours.
Oh no, this is pretty thick.
So I'm not sure
Yeah.
if the pourable batter would cook as well on top. Something to experiment with.
Yeah, this one is like you definitely scoop it
Yeah.
onto there. Maybe that does make a difference. I assumed you could probably use whatever kind of cornbread, but I haven't made like a regular cornbread in a while, so I couldn't remember what the texture of that was like.
It's a pretty thin batter, the one that I use for the skillet cornbread that I make. So,
More like a cake batter.
yeah,
Yeah,
kind of
almost
thing.
like a muffin batter, you know?
Yeah, a little more substantial. Well, that's something to try. I'll report back when I do make this,
Yeah.
because I'll give that a try, because I think this would be really good.
Yeah, and put some corn into the cornbread.
Yes. What about making this with your leftover carnitas meat too?
Oh, I know. I did think of that, actually. I was like, ooh, that would be good. Because if you make a real big, that real big pork shoulder
Yep. If you
pot
get
of
the full 4 pound
carnitas.
one, I'm usually just making a 2 pound one.
I know, but if you made the real big one, you could
Oh,
do the
this would be
tacos and
good.
then tamale pie. That would be good.
There's nothing better than reimagining leftovers and just stretching one piece of meat into two meals. I mean, with the price of everything these days, it's a necessity.
Especially if you get something on sale. Like I
Oh,
often, that's how I
yeah.
shop when I buy meat at the store. Not the stuff from the farm, but like if I'm at the grocery store, I always peruse the
Yep. I plan my meals based on what meat is on sale.
what's got the 30% off sticker today?
Yeah.
And if, especially if it's like a nice big roast, you're like, oh, I'm getting that one. And then what do you do with it? You either want to portion it smaller before you freeze it, or you make the big pot of something.
Make the big batch and then make it into a couple different meals, you know, reimagine it. And it is so nice to have something quick like this because I don't know about you, but I feel like my weeknights are getting shorter and shorter, and I have less and less time to make food to feed everybody before they're off again doing something else.
Oh, totally. And it's quick to make the filling too. So even if maybe the night that you eat your carnitas or whatever, you
Yeah.
take some of it aside, quickly mix it up, mix your filling up,
Yep.
pop that in the fridge for tomorrow, and then all you have to do is the
It's scoop,
cornbread.
mix, bake, and you're done. Winner, winner, all around. Good way to start out the year. Thank you, Heather.
Leave it to Americans
Yep.
to take something as time-consuming and complicated sounding as a tamale
Yes.
and turn it into something quick and easy for a weeknight. Yay!
Love that. And now for the fine print. Join us over on the socials. Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our website at threekitchenspodcast.com. Remember, when you like, follow, subscribe, and leave us a review, it helps more people find us. Thank you so much for listening.
But one day we'll try making them.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. It just looks like so much work.